Good evening, folks. Welcome to the Creation Science Hour. This is Kent Hovind and Jonathan Sampson. And, Paul, are you going to be on the program tonight? No? Okay, he says no. If you want to call in, you're welcome to call in, which might be a little different tonight. If you call in, you'll probably get our answering machine, which is fine. Then just hit extension 136 and come straight to Jonathan. So write this number down, and you can call in and get straight on the program, 850-479-3466, 850-479-3466. 3466, that spells Dino, and then hit extension 136 if you get on the answering machine. We'll put you live on the air. We are the folks who believe the Bible is literally true and scientifically accurate, and the evolution theory that's being taught in our schools is one of the dumbest and most dangerous religions in the history of the world. And it is taught all over the world. I've been to 36 countries. When I was speaking in Ukraine, Pavel's hometown, Chernovtsi, I went to the university there, and they teach evolution like crazy. All of communism is based on evolution theory. I mean, it's just assumed. I spoke to one university, and there were 30-some professors in the room listening to me speak on creation, and after about an hour speaking through a translator, one of the professors was crying, and I asked the professor, the translator, I said, "What's he crying about?" And she said, "Oh, he's never heard the creation story. He didn't know there was one. He's excited. He wants you to keep going." Had never heard the creation story. Professor at a university. Folks, this whole world is steeped in this stupid idea of evolution. I mean, it just permeates everything. It is, oh, what a mess we have here. Anyway, if you want to call in, you can call 850-479-3466 and hit extension 136, and they will put you through to Jonathan. If you want to AOL instant message us, it is Dr. Dino Live, DrDinoLive. And you can AOL instant message us. And we'll be glad to take your questions on creation, evolution, dinosaurs. And last night, we had a prayer time for the four IRS agents that are just bound and determined to lock this ministry down and bankrupt us and everything else. They've already came and raided the place and stole a bunch of stuff. And so I want you to pray for them again. We'll pray for, have an actual prayer time for them later. If you want to pray for the guys, they certainly need somebody to pray for them. We'll announce their names later. They're here in Pensacola. And we don't hate them. We want to win them to the Lord. We want to be friends with them. We want them, and we want to obey the law, and we want them to obey the law. So we'll announce that and have a prayer time at the end of the program. So that's quite a battle we're fighting there. If you want to donate to the ministry for that, that'd be great. Just you can do that right online on the website, drdino.com, and go to the donate button there. Here we go. Testimony's been sent to us. This one from Andrew Garman, who writes in. Your information has given me all the evidence I need, without a doubt, to prove the existence of God and the truth of the Bible. I now feel I could much more confidently debate the truth of God with even the greatest non-believer. It's very hard for anyone to argue with scientific proof. Thank you for sharing this information with everyone. I hope it will change even just one person, as it has strengthened my faith. Andrew. Well, thank you, Andrew. Yeah, you man, I appreciate that. Here's one from Russ Lee, who writes in, August 12th last year, I was channel surfing and found you talking and stopped to watch. At the end, you asked people to receive Christ. Your words touched me when you said, George Washington's been dead for 200 years and he's just gotten started. I took a drive and asked Jesus to come into my heart. I'd been suffering from depression, was unable to sleep, and that night I slept great for the first time in years. I went to church the next day and confessed my sins and was baptized the next week. I was then led to a church that has a great program, and I found out a few weeks ago our church sponsors your show on the local cable TV, Calvary Baptist Church in St. Augustine, Florida. I am an example of you reap what you sow. Well, thank you. That's awesome, Russ. Amen. Got saved watching the tape and now going to a Baptist church in St. Augustine. I just spoke in Green Cove Springs, I believe is the address. My son-in-law, it's his dad's church, Green Cove Springs, Arkansas. I mean, Florida, just south of, near St. Augustine, maybe 40 miles away. So, if you get a chance, come to the seminar, Russ. One more testimony here. Here's one from Steve, who writes, I want to thank you for opening my eyes. I saw many of your seminars on WVCY Channel 30 in the Milwaukee area. You've helped to reawaken me spiritually. And for that, I'm grateful. I was raised Catholic, but grew away from it. After some trying life experiences, I reached for the Bible. After that, I would read it sparingly, but I really had no direction. 10 years later, About 2 months ago, I caught a tape of one of your seminars on TV. I was hooked. You made more sense than any priest or preacher I'd ever heard. The last minute or so of each program where you talk about asking Jesus into your heart was scary for me. For some reason, I was afraid to do it. The funny thing is, every time I had a scientific reservation, you would answer it on the show. The long, short story, my spiritual birthday is September 18th of 2000. I thank you for that. I still have not discovered a specific religion. I think going to a church is my next step. Steve. Well, thank you, Steve. Awesome. Another one got saved watching the tape. We get thousands of these testimonies. If you have some friends that are lost, not Christians, why don't you get a set of tapes and give it to them? Invest $100 and you'll be just amazed at the results. We get so many people get saved watching these videotapes, these award-winning videos on creation, evolution, and dinosaurs. 17-hour seminar covers all kinds of things, lots of humor, lots of visuals, and I think nearly 6,000 slides we use in there, lots of video clips and stuff. If you want to keep their attention, this will do it. We've put out about 1 million videotapes in 6 languages since we started doing this. Okay, Loretta Davis writes in, and if you want to be on the program, folks, here's your chance. Go to Dr. Dino Live on the screen name there, or to call us, 850-479-DINO, and then hit extension 136. And our lovely Jonathan will answer your phone.
Lovely. Okay.
Lovely Jonathan, right? I don't know.
That's me. I'll be the Vanna White of the creation
center. There you go. Just put your arms out like that and say, over this way, folks. You know, you got to put your feet just right, hold your mouth just right. I don't think you have what it takes, personally, Jonathan. I mean, no offense.
I couldn't pull off the Vanna White.
You couldn't pull off a Vanna White. I don't believe so. Loretta Davis says, I was watching your seminar on creation science. You were talking about the gap theory. You said Adam and Eve had been in the Garden of Eden for as much as 100 years before being sent out. If he had children before he and Eve sinned, wouldn't those children not be under the condemnation of death? We are all under condemnation. Hope I've explained this well. Sincerely, Loretta. Loretta, yes, you've explained it fine. Adam and Eve did not have any children before Cain and Abel. They were out of the garden before any children were born. Now, the question really is, you know, why didn't they have children for the first 100 years? Oh, no clue. A couple of theories on that. One theory is God simply withheld the fruit of the womb, knowing what was coming, and they didn't have any children because it wasn't God's plan. Certainly Sarah in the Bible didn't have any until she was 90. Now, second theory is God created them as juveniles, and they had a childhood, actually. They had a wonderful time in the garden. They were best buddies and kind of grew up together. Instead of creating, you know, full-grown man, full-grown woman, which is one option. I mean, he might have, but some people think he made them as kids, and they got to be a kid for 100 years before all the responsibilities of adulthood fell on their shoulders. That's one option. Here we go. Lisa says, did God create the devil? Why? If not, where did he come from? Lisa, God created Lucifer, a light bearer, to be he's not really an angel. Apparently, the Bible teaches there are several different types of creatures in heaven. Angels, cherubim, seraphim, the 24 elders, the beasts. Lucifer is a cherub, which may or may not be an angel. I don't know anybody who knows the answer to that one. I mean, if there's an answer, I've never seen it. But Lucifer was the light bearer who apparently got jealous of the fellowship they were having with God, of Adam and Eve's fellowship with God, and said, you know, they ought to be worshiping me. I'm good looking, I'm handsome, blah, blah, blah. And according to Ezekiel 28 and Isaiah 14, his pride got him because of his beauty, because of his riches, because of his power, and because of his wisdom, those four things, same thing get people today. And he blew it. He rebelled against God.
It's just like many evolutionists and many atheists and skeptics go after knowledge, like the masonry. They promise you all this secret knowledge, and you know they want to be these, some of them are very arrogant, some of them aren't, you know, but they're chasing after this knowledge that no one else has. They want to be on the top of the pedestal, and it ends up, you know, turning out them rejecting God because of this knowledge that they have.
Mm-hmm. So. Well, Satan said to Eve, ye shall know good and evil, you know, I'm going to make you smart like God, and all those false, as you mentioned, some of the cults and the secret organizations, they promise something, special knowledge. Mm-hmm. Like when I was yesterday, 2 days ago in Iowa, all right, where was that? Missouri. We drove over to Illinois and to Nauvoo, Illinois, up where Iowa, Illinois, and Missouri come together. There's a new Moron temple that they built, Mormon temple. They got these 114 temples now around the world, and only the Mormons are allowed to go in there, okay, where they have their baptism for the dead and their secret, they seal. You can marry somebody for eternity in there. But the problem is, they don't tell anybody this, but if you're a Mormon and you see some other woman that's somebody else's wife and you say, I want her for eternity, you can go in the temple and have a secret wedding where you are married to her in eternity.
So it's basically adultery.
Oh, it's absolutely. It's vile religion. The stuff.
But it's okay if you're a Mormon.
Yeah, I mean, they might get sealed or married to, you know, hundreds or thousands of women if they can afford it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
What they promise the Mormons is the same thing Osama bin Laden promises his people. Mm-hmm. You do what I say, you follow Allah, you get blown up trying to kill an Israeli or a Christian, and you get eternal power and eternal sex. Same thing the Mormons promise. You get to be God, have 1,000 wives. You get, you know, it's...
If you examine, you know, all these different religions, you can really see which ones are man-made and which ones are God-ordained. Because like you were saying with the Muslim religion, you're promised power and sex. You know, two things that secular men, you know, sinners today focus on.
Mm-hmm.
They want these two things. And you can obviously see which ones are the sin from man's sick, twisted mind and which ones are from God. You know, what do we promise? We're promised crowns. What are we going to do with those crowns? We're going to take them off and lay them at the feet of Christ. We're going to worship Jesus Christ for all eternity. That is anything but a man-centered religion.
Right.
So.
Yeah, it's sad. But anyway, we went over to see the Mormon temple, and they it's the same thing. The Mormons promise, you know, secret knowledge. You know, we'll give you these. It's Joseph Smith, the founder, went from nothing to 32nd degree Mason in one day after he founded the Mormon Church. The Mormons and the Masons are tied in hand and glove. You know, it's just, there's a good website, utlm.org, if you want more on Mormonism. UTLM, Utah Lighthouse Mission. A tremendous website on Mormonism. Okay, here we go. Jared writes in, I recently watched your video series about creation and evolution. I really enjoyed it, and I'm glad I took the time to view it. You made the point that before the fall, all animals were plant eaters, and before the fall, nothing died. Based on this statement, what do you suppose that sharks ate? It's a simple question, but I can't think of anything that is suited to a shark's tooth type other than meat. Hoping you or one of your staff can answer this question for me, Jared. Okay, Jared, I don't have a positive answer for you. I can give you a couple of clues, okay? Certainly sharp teeth do not indicate an animal eats meat. I mean, they can, but there are an awful lot of animals with really sharp teeth that never eat meat, like fruit bats. We've got a fruit bat in our museum, a stuffed one, and it never eats meat. Of course, it never eats anything. It's dead. But even when it was alive, it didn't eat meat. It ate fruit. The panda bear, sharp teeth, like a bear. And it's a bear, but it eats vegetation, bamboo. There was a lion in the movies for years, used as a movie actor, if you can call him an actor, for like 11 years. Never ate meat, refused to eat meat. Vegetarian lion. I've had people, one lady told me they raise dogs in their kennel. They never eat meat. All they ever eat is vegetables, fruits and vegetables. Vegetarian dogs. They have bunches of them in their kennel. So I think the meat-eating segment of our population in the world of animals today is a degeneration, if you can call it that, from the original created kind where everything ate vegetation. Okay, break time, folks. Stay with us. We'll be back in just a moment. Jared, hope that helps.
All right, welcome back to the Creation Science Hour. This is Jonathan Sampson here on, what is today's date? June 8th. Here with Dr. Kent Hovind, who is out of the office at the moment. However, he will be back. And generally what we do on this program, we try and answer your questions on creation, evolution, dinosaurs, and the Bible, some of the most fascinating subjects in the world, and especially in today's media. Let's go ahead and look at some of the questions here. Oh my goodness. I'm going to butcher this. Let's see. Prama Elayapuramel writes, I haven't been able to find an update of your most recent arguments against evolution, so I'm not sure if you've removed this one or not, but in one of your videos, you use the second law of thermodynamics. Let's see, Prama continues to say, you say evolution could not have happened because it violates the second law of thermodynamics and gives a very loose interpretation of all things tends toward decay. Henry Morris's conclusion, all processes manifest a tendency toward decay and disintegration with a net increase of what's called the entropy or state of randomness. Hello, Dr. Irvin. We're just addressing the second law of thermodynamics.
I'm in favor of it.
in favor of it. Well, Pramila Yapuramel, that's a crazy name.
Yeah, that is a crazy name.
Apparently thinks that the second law of thermodynamics is not contradicted with evolution because of the formation of snowflakes, crystals, and eggs becoming animals.
Well, there's a problem there. Snowflakes become, water crystallizes into snowflake form because of the pre-design of the atom of water. The hydrogen and oxygen molecules have a 105-degree angle, roughly. I mean, it varies and vibrates around, but that it's that 105-degree angle that causes them to form in that precise pattern. And so that's part of an original design.
And that's still not evidence for evolution either. You can look at different types of messages. AB, AB, AB would be a very simple repetition, which that's exactly what the water molecule thing is. It's a very simple thing, just repeated over and over.
Right.
There's order there.
Right.
But it's not specified complexity. Like we look at DNA. It is not just A, B, A, B, A, B, A, B, A, B.
Right.
There is a very large difference there. So using a snowflake as an example,
Well, and an egg growing to be a chicken
is,
again, following a very complex code.
Yeah.
And it's taking in an enormous amount of information. It's got an enormous amount of food.
It's using that that intake of energy as well. A lot of things can't use the energy that's coming in, like you point out in your seminar.
Right. Like, how many pounds of food have you eaten in your lifetime?
I can...
A lot.
Yeah.
More than you weigh.
Yeah.
Sure. I got granddaughters, 20 months old, and she's probably 25 pounds, and has probably taken in 500 pounds of food already,
Mm-hmm.
So there's an enormous intake of energy and food in order to grow. So the egg becoming a chicken is not overcoming the second law. It's not even breaking even. It's still losing. It's taking in, plus it's following a code. So whatever the strange name was needs to think that through one more time. That is not an example of overcoming the second law. Anyway, thank you, Jonathan. From family from Tennessee came out there to see me during the break. Okay, here we go. Nathan in Traverse City, Michigan. Nathan, you got to be kidding. I have been to Traverse City, Michigan.
You've been just about everywhere.
I've been about everywhere, actually, yeah. Yes. But I've been to Traverse City.
North Dakota. Someone in North Dakota needs to have Dr. Hoban come up there and speak.
The only state I've never done a seminar in. I've been there several times, but I've never done a seminar in North Dakota. My last one, I've done seminars in 49 states. So some of you North Dakotans up there, get a church to get somebody together and let's have a seminar. Okay, here's one from, what was I doing here? Nathan, Traverse City, Michigan, writes in. I recently finished watching the debate you put on your website with Dr. Shermer. There was one topic he brought up that didn't get answered. If we take the Bible literally, how do we respond when people bring up parts of Leviticus where it says you should stone misbehaving kids? I think it's a great idea. You'd only have to do it once, and every kid in the country would behave.
There are those countries that actually cane kids,
Sure.
I doubt they have a very high violence level. I'm sure the kids pretty much behave.
But if you read the passage about stoning the kids, the parents had to bring the kid in to the elders at the city gate, which is kind of like our court system, okay? They would have these huge walls. They have two gates at each side of the wall. In between the gates is where they would have their sort of a court. They would have their elders sit there, and they would, bring people in for judgment on things. What do you think? Did he break the law? Blah, blah, blah. So they talk about sitting between the gates. That's what they're talking about. Basically, we would call it a courthouse. And the parents would have to bring the kid in and say, this is my son or my daughter. They're rebellious. There's a whole list of things they have to say there in Leviticus. And they won't obey. Stone them. I doubt that it ever happened, even once in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
The threat of it was enough. The parents can always use that. Today, what's a parent say? If you don't knock it off, I'm gonna call HRS or something.
My mom would just say my two middle names, and I knew I was in trouble.
In trouble.
Joseph David, and I'm like, oh.
Hey, by the way, your mom called yesterday. Did she ever get a hold of you?
She called today. She said that.
Today?
Yeah.
I talked to her for a little bit, and I said, John's not here. I tried to transfer it. Sorry about that commercial online here, folks. So you did talk to her then?
Advertising John's mom. Yeah.
There you go. She said it's nice out in New Mexico or wherever she is now.
Arizona,
yeah. I doubt anybody ever got stoned for misbehaving. However, the fact that there was a law on the books,
mm-hmm.
Congress passes all kinds of laws. If you do this crime, you're going to be killed. They hope nobody ever does it.
Yeah.
It's not like, so, Nathan, I would say Shermer and others who use this are totally missing the point. Every country does this. They pass laws hoping they never have to be used for the punishments.
Besides, Shermer claimed to have been saved. He claimed to have been a Christian. And if he is trying to use this as an argument against the Bible, then he obviously had no understanding of Scripture whatsoever. Because if we're going to take the Bible literally, then we have to also take it literally where it says we no longer do things this way. You know, they don't accept that. We're no longer right. under the law. Yeah, we're taking the entire Bible literally, not just a part of it. There's other parts that tie in here and there as well.
Yeah, and you also have to figure there's a transition time in the Bible. Here we got Moses leading people out of Egypt, and they're wandering around for 40 years. They're nomads, and now they're going to establish, you know, cities and civilization. And anytime you establish civilization, you have to sit down and make some laws. If somebody murders somebody, here's the penalty, you know. There's still capital punishment in most states in America for there's a whole list of crimes you can get executed for.
Mm-hmm. You might also ask the evolutionist, if you know, if we are to stone kids, why is that bad in their own little worldview? You know, why is it wrong? There is no right and wrong.
That's true.
It's actually a good thing because it's taking away some mouths to feed. You know, we can actually provide for ourselves a little more.
Take out your frustration.
Yeah.
Get some exercise, throwing rocks, you know.
Stone your kid.
Eliminate some bad genes in the gene pool.
I know it. So why are they complaining?
Well, see, the other people don't understand that capital punishment is a great deterrent, especially if it's public and you take your kids down and you watch somebody get stoned and I don't mean get drunk, I mean get rocked to sleep. And your kid says, Daddy, what did he do? Oh, he was a bad person. He did this, this, this. You're going to impress on that little kid. He'll never do that.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope nobody ever has to get executed with capital punishment. However,
go ahead.
You have to have that threat.
Yeah.
In any society.
There's got to be an if all the time. You know, if you don't do this, then
do it or else.
Yeah.
Or else what? Or else don't do it. Okay. There has to be an or else, you know. So anyway, I think Shermer's way off base on that one. Let's see. He said, stone your wife if she doesn't show signs of virginity on your wedding night. I think that if you read through the laws in Leviticus, first thing, these are given to the Jews, and these are given, I think, as a model society for the Jews during this transition time. We're not under these laws. I think they're still obviously excellent advice. And this would certainly, you know, the threat of stoning if someone's not a virgin. I mean, if girls had that today, they would be much less likely to be promiscuous. And how many problems are caused in our society precisely because of the immorality we have?
Yeah, you can look in the world today. There are people as young as 14, 15 years old becoming pregnant.
And 11-year-old becoming
pregnant. Yeah, there's a very high rate of abortion. They're murdering children all over the world. You know, there's also, you know, it's just crazy, this world today.
Well, you have to first make a list of what is right and wrong, what is good for society, and then say, okay, if you're going to love flowers, you have to hate weeds, and you have to have some laws, you know. Same thing with speed limits. I mean, this probably could apply to the same thing for, you know, should we have any laws? When I was working in schools, you know, we would have dress standards for the kids. And they go, what do we have a standard dress standard for? Well, everybody has a standard. You know, you don't let kids come to school naked, except at Berkeley where that guy came naked for 8 months. He didn't know what to do about it. But you have to have everybody has a standard. The question is, what is the standard? And, like if you're working in a factory that's making pistons for a car, okay, and your job is to make the pistons a certain size, plus or minus, they always have what's called a tolerance, you know, plus or minus, say, 10 thousandths of an inch. Okay. A new guy comes in and takes over, and he says, hey, guys, we're going to raise the standard. 10 thousandths of an inch is too sloppy. We're going to raise it. It can only be 5 10-thousandths of an inch. So you're making your pistons, if it's not that size, plus or minus 5 10-thousandths of an inch, it becomes scrap. Okay? Things that used to pass as good now become scrap because the standard has been raised. Okay? Anytime you raise the standard, you automatically get two things. A better product and more scrap.
Mm-hmm.
If girls raise their standard and say, I'm not going to date a guy unless he has, you know, this list of 30 qualifications. Okay? Well, they're going to get thousands that don't meet their scrap. They don't meet the standard, but they're going to get a better product. If guys, you know, set a standard, I want a girl that is, you know, here's my third Proverbs chapter 31. You know, here's the 22 qualities I want in a wife. Okay. Well, you're going to get more scrap. There's some that just don't make the grade.
Mm-hmm.
I know a lot of people that I feel so sorry for them having to be married to the one they're married to. They weren't very picky, you know. And it'd be tragic. I mean, it'd be a life sentence instead of a, you know, to be married to some people that I've seen, you know. So I think raise the standards. And as far as I don't think anybody, I probably no wife or child ever got stoned in the Bible because of this law. But the fact that there was a law, number one, it shows God's attitude toward that subject, and it serves as a deterrent. Let's see, if we take the Bible literally, let's see, which laws do we take as valid and which ones don't we? Continue. Nathan writes in. Also, a quick compliment. I love your joke about your wife had a great mother-in-law. I couldn't stop laughing when I first heard it, although I never heard anyone laugh at your seminars. Maybe they don't get it. I think you should continue to use it. You got a great ministry. Thanks for your info on your website. Nathan, Traverse City, Michigan. Awesome. Nathan, thanks for listening. And tell your friends to listen in to truthradio.com. And support us, by the way. We don't beg for money on here much, but if we don't get support, we're going to have to make some major decisions here by the end of the month. So if you know somebody wants to write in and say, hey, here's $20 or here's $100, stay on the air. I like your program. That will help us make the decisions. So far, I think we've had none. Zero in the, 8 months we've been on. It's probably cost our ministry $500 a month for 8 months. You know, we get, to my knowledge, nobody's ever donated. Somebody has, I haven't seen it. So, and we're not going to make the decision based on that. But if nobody's donating, nobody appreciates it, then why do it, you know, kind of thing. So I got plenty of other things to do. I got to stack my
piles. We can also, real quick, just put in a plug. On our website, drdonner.com, we have a new product, which is the Alexander Scorby reading of the Bible at double speed.
That is so cool.
It's right on the front page. They can actually listen to a sample chapter, Genesis 1, at double speed, which is, of course, what you do with your Bible. And apparently,
I've been doing it for 30 years.
Yeah, and you read the – you have your little – it's kind of like a little testimony type of thing on there, but you said you've read the New Testament in about 12 hours.
Yeah, I was sick one day from school. I was a senior in high school. I don't know, I had the flu or something. I stayed home and read the whole Bible, whole New Testament in 12 hours. You can read the whole New Testament in about 35 hours, the whole Bible in 35 hours. So if you, you know, get a couple days free, you can sit and read the entire Bible in like 4 days, you know. It's amazing.
They can get it now, 35 CDs for $69.
Yeah, we just lowered the price. It was $99, brand new product, and $69 if you want to get the whole Bible on CDs at double speed. You can use it for workout time. It only takes, try Genesis 1. You can click on the website and listen to it. It only takes a few minutes to get used to it.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can actually, without even looking at the Bible, you can understand it.
Yeah.
Now, if you are looking at the Bible while he's reading it, then you get a much higher retention rate. I sit here. I've got it set up right over there behind me, John. You've seen it there, my record player. I still use Alexander Scorby. Same thing on record at double speed.
Well, you'll just have to buy the CDs now. That way you don't have to use your records. You can take them with you in your laptop.
You know, that's a good thought.
Hmm.
Why did I think of that? I did it. That's true. Because I'm always coming out here in the morning reading my Bible at double speed. I sometimes just read the Bible, you know. But it's like looking at your property. You know, you walk around your property all day long, but then when you fly over it, it's like, oh wow, you get a whole new view, you know. And when you fly through the Bible at double speed, it's true you don't pick up all the details. I understand, and that's what the critics are going to say, you know. But you do get a different view. That's also necessary.
Yeah, when you focus too much on the details, you kind of miss the bigger picture as well. So.
Well, like Eric today said, you know, this morning I read half of Proverbs using those CDs. He said it was incredible. He said I got just a whole new view. Read half of Proverbs today. We don't have testimonies on there yet, do we? We need to add some on there. Eric had said, I got your Bible on CD, and I read half of Proverbs this morning, and so thankful you made that product. You know, please keep stuff like that coming. Because you just get a whole new view that you catch things you wouldn't catch. Anyway, AOL Instant Messages, folks, at Dr. Dino Live, if you'd like. Or call us, 850-479-DINO, and then go to extension 136. And our lovely gentleman answer the phone, sitting right there next to it. Okay, here we go. Kendra writes in, I'm a Bible-believing Christian, but I have a question about the Tower of Babel, or Babel, as some people pronounce it. I don't know which one is technically correct. This is how I understand it. God created everything, number one. Number two, the flood of Noah happened. Number three, God confused the languages at Babel, and they dispersed. But what I don't understand is how they dispersed. How did everyone get from one continent to another in a world as we know it today? Native Americans, for example. Oh, let me stop right there and say, Kendra, there's the problem. The world as we know it today is different than it was right after the flood. You need to watch my video number 6. If you looked at a map of the world without the water in it, if you could remove all the oceans and, you know, put them someplace else for a while and look at the world, you'll see everything's connected. Obviously, the oceans have a bottom to them. And between all the continents and around all the continents, there are land bridges that are underwater. Like, for instance, between Australia and Indonesia and Southeast China, the water's only like 50 feet deep, you know, the wide as this room. So it's not like, you know, all you'd have to do is lower the oceans 50 or 100 feet, and everything's connected. Mm-hmm. The street's 100 feet away from here. So that's not much. If you lowered the oceans, you took 100 feet of water out of the oceans, and the average 12,000 feet deep. Just remove 100 feet, freeze it, stick it on the North and South Pole, huge ice caps, ice age. Ice age would automatically lower the water level.
Yeah, they can see that in that new movie that just came out. It's not completely scientifically accurate, but
it's way off, you know.
Yeah, right, but Day After Tomorrow. But, you know, it's pretty neat.
Did you go watch it?
I went and saw that the same night you did, yeah.
Okay. Special effects were cool, but the whole plot is like, oh, brother, you know, save the planet, kill all the people, you know.
Yeah.
Humans are causing everything. Anyway, so, Kendra, that's the problem. I think after the flood, the oceans were lower because the ice caps were larger and people were able to walk anywhere. I met a guy when I was in Alaska, and he said he flies over the Bering Strait all the time, and it's only like 50, 60 feet deep. You can see the bottom everywhere between Russia and Alaska. Okay, Kendra, hang in there, and then we'll get back to the rest of you right after the break. Thanks a lot.
All right, welcome back to the Creation Science Hour. This is Jonathan Sampson and Dr. Kent Hovind. We were just talking about the new product on drdino.com. That's www.drdino.com. It is the entire Bible read by Alexander Scorby, the King James, at double speed. So that's what we were just discussing before the break. So,
well, if you get a chance, folks, go listen to a chapter. I started, it was an accident, actually. 35 years ago, I became a Christian. And within just a couple of months, I don't remember, 4 or 5 months, somebody gave me the entire Bible on record for a record player. And it was to be played at 16 RPM. Okay. Well, I got a record player at 16 RPM. And one day, I came in to listen to my Bible. And somebody had accidentally set it on 33 RPM, which is double speed. And so I flipped it on and started listening. It sounded like Donald Duck, you know, and for a few seconds. But I thought, hey, I can understand this. So I got my Bible, and I was following along at double speed. And it was like, wow, this is cool.
What's even cooler is the CDs that they can get on the website do not sound like Donald Duck. They're
true.
These twice as fast. But
going through the computer, they got the right tone to it also, whatever they call it, pitch or something.
Uh-huh.
Roll, pitch, and yaw. No, pitch, tone, and something else. Anyway, it sounds more normal, but it's just compressed. You know, it takes a minute to get used to it, and then you can say, wow, this is cool. So I recommend that if you want to see some spiritual growth. The Bible will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from the Bible. Okay, Kendra writes in about the flood, how they get around to the different continents. That's how they got around, Kendra. They walked or hopped or swam, whatever they did. Plus, of course, they knew how to build boats. They just got off a big one. Let's see. Native Americans came over probably through, the Bering Strait to Alaska, but I don't think that's not the only way. They could have just taken a boat across the ocean. It would have been smaller for one thing, which means a lot more islands that are in the Atlantic would be huge. They'd be exposed, you know. Plus, who knows what else is just a few hundred feet under the ocean out there. Let's see. There's maps from National Geographic that I show on my seminar part 6. If you download that, you can. Get that off the internet. Okay, let's see. I know early man was not primitive, but how would they know how to build a boat and sail in a random direction? Noah just got off a big boat. I think they were really smart. Living 600 years, probably knew all kinds of things that we don't even remember anymore. Okay, another question from Kendra. Sorry to bother you again, but I have another question. I'm a Christian and believe the Bible. But right after the flood, what did everyone eat? God gave Noah permission to eat meat, but if only two of every animal were in existence, they wouldn't eat them for a while to give time to reproduce. Okay, well, Kendra, basically, God told Noah to stay in the ark 5 months after the ark hit bottom. The Bible says in Genesis, I think it's chapter 8, if I recall. I don't know off the top of my head. Maybe it's 9. But the ark rested in the 7th month. Chapter 8, yeah, 7 or 8. In the 7th month, the ark rested. It, you know, no longer bouncing around in the waves. But then Noah didn't get out till 12 and a half months after he got in. So for 5 months, he stayed in the ark, where they had plenty of food and shelter and et cetera, et cetera. During that 5 months, all kinds of things would be growing outside. I mean, you can plant a garden and get it up ready to eat in 2 or 3 months. Up north, where the days are longer, the growing season is shorter, but the days are longer, you end up with, you know, short season, and you can get crops. Some places, they have 2 or 3 crops a year. So really, 5 months in the ark is plenty of time for everything to get going again outside. And I think all kinds of seeds would be floating around from the flood. You'd have extremely fertile soil after a flood. I was just in, Missouri. And the farmers up there that have bottom land, they call it bottom land. It sells for a lot more than the other land, farmland. I said, why? They said, oh, it's much more fertile because when it floods, you know, it ruins your crop that year. But, boy, you get really great crops after that because everything's much more fertile. All the silt's settling in. The Egyptians, you know, along the Nile, they love it when the Nile floods because that provides all kinds of nutrients for the next year's crop. Okay, next one here from Twinkle, 100%. I just wanted to thank Dr. Hovind about his comment on the seminars about the way girls dress. I'm a 16-year-old guy. I find it very challenging to keep my eyes and thoughts pure. I think that girls that dress inappropriately don't realize how much damage they are doing to us guys. It was really encouraging to hear Dr. Hovind talk about girls and how they shouldn't advertise if they're not in business. Yes, I agree, Twinkle 100%. It is sad, you know, that girls, most of them are just stupid, okay? As far as those that dress that way, they really don't know what they're doing. They think, oh, I'm attracting attention. Yeah, you sure are. Here's the bottom line. I don't know how much to say on the radio here, but God created man and woman to reproduce, and he told man, the very first commandment was, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth. So to accomplish that, God gave man a great drive to do that, and he gave woman a great drive to try to attract that. Women are consumed with trying to attract a man's attention, which is why they have the makeup industry and the clothing industry and all this kind of stuff. That's normal. That's natural. But it's for your husband. You don't want to attract everybody in the world, you know. You'd attract your husband. I was walking along. I was in Iowa, Missouri last week, and we were walking along the street taking the dog for a walk with this guy and found a card, Victoria's Secret. I said, Victoria, I don't have no secrets. I can tell you that right now. Okay. Yeah, okay. If you want to get that kind of stuff, that's great for your wives to use with your husband at home, not for public display. Here's one from Robert who writes in, can you explain magnetic pole shifts using creationism? Okay, Robert, I don't believe the magnetic poles have shifted. I covered that on video number 6. I mean, they may have. I couldn't prove it, but there's an awful lot of evidence they haven't. They've just gotten stronger and weaker, the magnetic field. There is no known mechanism how the magnetic field could reverse, and certainly no proof that it ever did. Let's watch video number 6 for more on that. Jonathan, look on the moped out there. There's a little wren trying to build a nest in the handlebar. We had one in there one day and had a nest and eggs and everything else in one of the mopeds. They're quick. Doesn't matter, folks. You have to come down and see it. Daryl writes in, regarding Noah's Ark length and the wood used, I've listened to your seminar many times and remember some discussion about not being able to build a boat that large using wood. To rebut that argument, doesn't the following just stand to reason? It probably could be proved if someone really wanted to challenge it, I suspect. Aren't they putting the limits about the wood strength and the size based on what we know about post-flood trees? Excellent point, Daryl. The trees before the flood would have been monstrous, so you get less splicing and problems. I mean, if your tree's 9-foot diameter and 300 feet long, one board does cover a lot of ground.
Mm-hmm. They also make this dumb assumption that because they don't know how it could be done, that means it can't be done.
Here's Noah, 600 years old, with plans straight from God. Here's how you do it. And we got some 20-year-old kid today who wasn't there, says he couldn't do it.
Yeah, you know, and also, following that logic, then I guess the pyramids don't exist because we're not completely sure how they came to be.
Right.
Is it in Peru where there's a
20,000 ton stone?
20,000 ton stone. There's cut no stone. Way the biggest cranes in the world today can do about 3,000 tons. So obviously, according to that logic, they don't exist either.
Can't be done, so they didn't do it.
Wow.
So it's not really there. They just think it's there.
It's an illusion.
That's right. It's a vision. But good point, Daryl, about the annual rings. It says here, they're assuming the trees then were like the post-flood trees. He said, from my experience, the weakest part of wood is the part that grew during dormant periods, the so-called annual rings. If a wooden bat breaks, it follows the grain or annual rings. It's my understanding that the annual rings are caused because of the dormant growth period. And that the size of the area between the rings is based on how much growth occurred, which is usually attributed to the amount of water available to the tree and sunlight and nutrients. Prior to the flood, there would have been a greenhouse effect, where the temperature would be relatively constant all year long. There would be no annual rings because the conditions that make rings would not have existed. So without rings, the wood would most certainly be stronger, not to mention because of the ever-growing season, the trees would be taller and larger. Good point, Daryl. I appreciate that. Yep. And so those who criticize the flood story need to take that into consideration. Okay. Daniel Smith writes, Dr. Hovind, in reference to where the races come from, Adam, the first man, originally had the biological makeup of both male and female. Daniel, I stop right after your first sentence and say, I disagree. Adam was male, then he made Eve out of his rib. And Daryl goes on to say, I believe that because he was made directly in God's image, that he also possessed the genetic mapping of all the races. In other words, his DNA was perfect. Even though the flood brought us back to one family, Noah was so close to the spring of our genetic pool that there would have been plenty of variables in his double helix. Then, as people inherited different regions, genetic adaptations occurred, as was appropriate to the environment. Oh, we're going to run out of time. Okay. I disagree. Adam was male. Eve was female. So, folks, we're going to have prayer time. The IRS agents that are wanting to shut our ministry down need to be prayed for. We want God to get their attention in some unusual way that will make the paper. That's what the specific prayer we're praying for. So if you'd like to pray for them, we would appreciate that. The guys to pray for are Connie Burgess, Randall Wright, Frederick Evans, and Scott Schneider. Those are the ones we'd like you to pray for, that they will cease persecuting our ministry, and God will get their attention in a way that they will recognize it was God that did it and say, wow, back off of these folks. These are God's people. And we'll give God permission to take it from there, do whatever he thinks. So I want you to pray for these folks, and it's been quite a battle. We're trying to do what's right. We're not trying to do anything, hide anything or do anything illegal or wrong, but they really have come after us with fangs barred. So let's pray right now, here in the last closing moments of the program. Heavenly Father, you know the hearts of us. You know what our ministry exists for here. We want to win souls and influence others to win souls. And we're a New Testament church ministry trying to spread your word. And Lord, we've got some folks in our IRS, pseudo-government organization, that are just determined to cause damage to your work. And Lord, they have already caused damage and are wanting to cause much more. I pray that you will stop them, Lord, by whatever means you need to. And I pray for specifically for Scott Snyder, who's heading this up, and Frederick Evans, and for Randall Wright, the head of the IRS here in Pensacola, and for Connie Burgess, Lord. I pray that you will speak to their hearts softly at first, like you do, and then just step it up, whatever you need to, Lord, to get their attention to realize, wow, we're dealing with the church here. We're dealing with God's people. We've stolen God's stuff. Let's return it. Get it back. Kind of like you did with the guys that followed Dagon, the Philistines, in the Bible there. You got their attention, and they returned the gods that they stole. They returned the ark that they stole. Lord, these people have stolen money from your church, and I pray that and stolen records from your church, and are still persecuting us more. I pray that you will stop them, Lord. Just ratchet it up to whatever level it requires to get their attention and make them do what's right. Please, Father, I don't want to see anybody die and go to hell. I sure want to see people get saved. I'd like it to be a good relationship, and when it's all over with, I want them to be able to come here to Dinosaur Adventure Land and bring their kids and learn the truths of your scriptures that we try to teach here. But Lord, please, we want to turn them over to you as we have already. We want other people to pray that they'll be turned over to you for you to judge and to handle the situation in whatever way is necessary. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, we've got about 1 minute left, folks. If you want to call in, it's probably too late. But please pray for them if you didn't get the names. There's more names I could add to the list, too, but these are enough for now. Connie Burgess is the lady. Randall Wright, W-R-I-G-H-T. Frederick Evans, E-V-A-N-S. And there's a couple more I may add to the list later, and also Scott Schneider. So pray for them that God will do what he did to the Philistines when they stole the Ark of the Covenant. That, you know, just like in the Bible, sometimes God speaks in a still small voice, and sometimes he makes himself known for those who aren't listening, like Pharaoh had 10 plagues come on him. And Pharaoh never did get the message. I mean, he never did get it. So God had to take him out, and that's always God's option if he wants to. We'll leave that in his hands. Okay. Questions have been sent to us. I have about a quarter inch of questions left. If you want to get yours in the pile, you can Is email working now, John? How do they email? Is there some kind of problem with email? Or
They can email us through an older site that we have, www2.drdung.com, or they can just go ahead.
What are you saying now? www.2?
www2.drdung.com.
The number two?
The number two.
The letter two.
I'm sorry.
The number two,
not the...
The number two, and then another dot.
Yeah.
And then drdino.com.
Or they can just send one to jonathan@drdino.com or dino@drdino.com.
Okay.
So, but we're trying to get this all going correctly.
You're going to fix it.
Yeah.
That's why we got you guys on the web. All right. So if you want to call in, folks, to the program, we'll be here live tomorrow and Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Lord willing, if somebody doesn't take us out between now and then. So pray for the whole situation here. We're doing fine. We have a couple of golden opportunities to start more dinosaur adventure lands around the country. And if you know any rich millionaires would like to help with that project, we would sure love to see more started. We have reached. Is that the music starting? Oh, okay. Well, tune in again tomorrow, folks, and tell your friends to tune in and try out that Bible on double speed. Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.